The Last Word on Sport.
With Dove Men Plus Care. Proud sponsors of the British and Irish Lions. Upgrade to Dove Men Plus Care. Because care changes everything.
So let's go to sport. Will O'Callaghan, host of the Hurling Pod, is with me from Off the Ball. And our first guest is Michael Ryan, a former Tipperary manager. And we have to start with Tipperary's victory in the All-Ireland Senior Hurling Championship final yesterday after a sensational second half performance which demolished Cork. Michael Ryan, where did that come from?
We're still asking ourselves the same questions, Matt. To be fair to that bunch of players and the team management, they really delivered a perfect performance in that second half yesterday. And one that we had hoped for, you know, not one that we had seen during the year. In fairness, all their performances, you know, after the round robin defeat with Cork, all of our performances were wins, needless to say. So they were positive, but they really held the best wine to last. And that second half performance yesterday was probably the best I've ever seen out of a Tipperary team.
That good?
Yeah, that good. It needed to be, Matt. It needed to be. And
did it?
You know, look, it did. Yeah, I think everything that could possibly go right for us went right for us. You know, you couldn't. I'm trying to see where things went wrong, and I can't see them. Cork hit the post three times, the upright twice, the crossbar once. A sending off that hurts, a goal that's awarded as well as a sending off. You know, I think everything that could have happened for us did happen for us in that second half. But to be fair, we had it wasn't just the second half. We actually played a good first half, a very good first half. You know, we were all afraid of our lives of what Cork might bring and the pace they had and the goal scoring threat. So, you know, we had to contain it and they did. They got their matchups right, they got the tactics right.
Okay, Will O'Callaghan, I think maybe one or two listeners might be aware of the fact that I'm from Cork.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I went to the match yesterday, and when you're with supporting a team, you tend to look at it in a very one-eyed fashion. You look at how your own players are performing, and you look at the tactics been employed, and you look at the level of performance, and you sort of look at the opposition very much through that prism. So I think every Cork supporter will acknowledge the enormous score run up by Tipperary in the second half, but has a series of questions that they'll be asking as to how can a team only score 2 points in the second half of an All-Ireland final?
They didn't deal with the sweeper, was one of the key parts.
Well, that's the next thing I was going to go. How could they not have anticipated that, given all of the publicity that there had been about the way they demolished Dublin and people saying that the way to deal with Cork is to play with a sweeper, how did they seemingly not anticipate that this was going to be the tactic brought forward by Tipperary? And I suppose the other thing that people want to know, what Cork people want to know is how did the spirit of the Cork team drop so dramatically in the second half, given that they had gone into halftime with a 6-point lead?
Yeah, especially after getting the goals before half time as well, which is usually seen as the perfect time to extend that lead. Like, I thought Cork played pretty well in the first half, but not in the flowing fashion that they normally do. Now, Darren McCarthy was saying earlier today that a huge part of what worked for Tipperary, and I think he's right, is that two players decided to ruin their own game to ruin Cork's game, and that was Ronan Maher and Willie Connors. So Willie Connors goes back into a wing back position to do a very specific job, and Ronan Maher went in to cut off the longer ball, which was working for Cork throughout the season when they went more directly. Their inside forward line, I think, just got 3 points in the first half of the 116. Maybe they were happy enough to have won 14 from play up on the board, but it was coming from a bit further out. Then when Ormond gets a little bit more withdrawn, when McCarthy starts to come out, Cork are unable to adapt. I wonder, there is a sliding doors moment where Patrick Corgan has got a free where you expect him to score. If they go 7 points ahead at that stage, does that change it?
And that would have been the first score of the second half as well, which would have meant the momentum would have been continued.
And instead, Tipperary, I think over the next 15-minute spell, get 5 points in a row. Cork then get the first point then, and then Tipperary get the penalty, the goals go in, and Tipperary pull away. And from that point on, I think from the moment that Owen Downey was sent off, it felt like there was only going to be one winner in the game. But it was like Cork were lacking the energy that they had brought to the games, they were lacking the fight that was there, and none of that was lacking from Tipperary's performance. So I think while you can be very disappointed with the way that Cork attacked, and as you said, tactically, they did not adapt when they needed to, at the same time, I think you've got to give a lot of credit, hooks, blocks, all those kind of determinants. If you can keep a team down to 12 shots in the second half, which is what Tipperary did, I think you have to give huge credit to the defending team as well.
Okay, but I suppose, and I'll just stay with you, Will, on this at the start. When you say about the first half, yes, Cork had run up a score of 116, but was that perhaps a little bit misleading? Did the goal, in some respects, maybe happen at the very worst time, that it may have bred a little bit of complacency? Oh, there's 6 points up now. Whereas they actually hadn't scored brilliantly. And Michael said Tipperary did very well in the first half, but amongst us Cork one-eyed supporters at halftime, we were saying, oh, Tipperary have had 9 wides.
Yeah.
Tipperary have had an awful lot of possession. If Tipperary had been better with their shooting, they could be level with us or even ahead.
Yeah, I think Tipperary would have been very happy with particularly curtailing the goal chances within that first half as well. They knew they were going to have the wind in the second half. There's no way they could have thought they'd win the second half 3-14 to 2 points. That's dreamland kind of stuff. But they would have felt they were very much in the fight despite Barrett's goal going in for half time. Willie Connors was saying out in the hotel in Malahide earlier that actually part of him and Declan Dalton having a coming together, if you want to put it that way, as they went past Tyler Welsh on the way into the dressing room, was him almost trying to G up the team as they got in at half time. And they felt that resilience was there with some of the games they've had to come back in earlier this season. Maybe there was that feeling in the back of Cork's head, take the Clare, you know, lapse where they allowed Clare back into the game in Ennis earlier this season, and then Cork had to rescue the game. Maybe we overlooked that element in Cork where they do drift out of games, but there's no way you could have thought they would drift out in that type of degree in the second half.
Mick in Cork says, we had dealt with the sweeper. We had gotten the scores, but we never came out in the second half. There was an awful lot of ball, particularly puck outs dropped down in the sweeper, and an awful lot of ball coming out of the Cork defence, which ended up with the Tipperary sweeper. What did you think of that, Michael? I mean, do you think Cork didn't come out in the second half?
Well, you know, I think it's small things, Matt. Like that free. Now we were sitting with a perfect view of that free, and we were really annoyed from a tip perspective that we conceded that free so quickly, because we were very conscious that we couldn't let Cork slip out another point or two or three, and you know that looked like you know well within Patrick Horgan's range, and would have taken it out to 7 points and momentum with Cork, but it had the opposite effect. You know, it left us at 6. And, you know, as Will has pointed out then, I think for the next, is it 10 minutes in a row, we gathered up, I think we got 1-5 in reply, or sorry, uninterrupted,
yeah,
before Cork got their first score of the second half. So already at that point, and it was score, you know, and it wasn't fast, like the goal was the last, you know, we got 5 points and then the goal.
And I think you'd missed a couple of shots as well, even in that run.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, just to point out, Cork shooting into the Hill 16 goals and ours in the first half was poor. Like we were felt that we were going to rue all these wides.
Yeah, 9 wides in the first half
and hurt us. Yeah, but it was quite similar for Cork in the second, and even a few that dropped short. You know, and look too, that we spoke already about that hit the uprights.
Yeah,
you know, these are the small margins. I just felt it was a very very gritty second half performance from Tip, and it wasn't a barrage of goals that did it in quick succession. It was actually point by point by point. But they did change tactic, Matt. We went 6 back, 6 forwards for the whole of the second half. Until such time as Rob Downey...
Owen Downey, beg your pardon.
It was 6-on-6 at both ends, you know, so there was a tactical change, but...
But it wasn't a Cork tactical change, it was a Tipperary one.
It was ours, and we were delighted to see it, because that really suited us, even though it worked very well in the first half when we needed to you know, not allow Cork have the kind of starts that they've had. And, you know, that storm had sailed, per se, and, you know, the second half was there to be won. But we could not afford to let that lead get out much, much longer than what it was. So it actually, pulling it in gradually, you could feel the Tip confidence grow. And it had the opposite effect on the Cork guys. It kind of went, you know, a couple of mistakes happened. You know, that kind of long ball. We went with the long ball a lot in the second half. And it, you know, again, it causes consternation in the back line. And it always does. Unless you have your fullback getting primary possession and winning those kind of long balls, forwards love breaking ball. It causes mistakes, and it's all about who reacts quickest, who's got the coolest mindset, and it couldn't have happened for anybody, you know, better than our John McGrath. He is brilliant in those circumstances.
Momentum as well, Michael, is just so important to games, because when a team gets a run, sometimes you can see the confidence, and every ball seems to go their way, doesn't it? And you can see in the confidence just surging through the Tipperary team and realising that the Cork team were wilting in front of them and that the scoreboard was mounting. There must have been a stage, particularly after Rowan Downey sending off, not far into it, that all the Tipperary players would be just thinking, just keep doing this and there is no way they're coming back at us.
At that point, when the penalty goal went in, it was a 6-point game. But that's nothing in the modern game of hurling. You know, I was sitting with my wife and my daughter, and we were looking at the clock at minute 64, and I was saying, "Oh my God, this has got to be the longest 10 minutes of my life." And that's how it felt for Tipperary. You know,
it felt a lot worse for Cork fans, Michael. It was a much longer 10 minutes, I can tell you, knowing damn well that there wasn't a hope in hell of recovering that gap.
Well, at 6 points, there's always a chance. That's nothing in the modern game of hurling. But it's just that, I suppose, the next few scores, and there was a poor free conceded by Cork, and those are the big moments. Then, you know, when you go from 6 to 7, it was the complete reverse of what it was at halftime, when we were afraid that G might go from 6 to 7 and 8, and then stretch it out beyond catching it. And so it actually happened for us in reverse. But you could see the crowd absolutely getting behind Tipperary, and the belief was surging through the team. That's all you could describe it as. And it was wave after wave of Tip, and they were brave, and you know, everything they touched seemed to be gold at that point in time. And Cork, you know, by contrast, it just seemed to be one thing after another. But it goes like that, and it, as you pointed out, Matt, very hard to wrestle it back.
Well, something I brought up with Jamesy and with John McIntyre on Friday's preview of the match was the importance of keeping 14 men on the pitch. And I acknowledged that you had Tipperary in the semi-final, won the game with 14 men, having only had it for the last 12 or 13 minutes or so, and how Dublin had beaten Tipperary Dublin had beaten Limerick with 14 men. But it really showed yesterday, didn't it, that Cork's chance of actually recovering the game essentially went with Owen Downey being sent off. So, again, there are people in Cork, there's great love for Pat Ryan, and I was at the dinner last night for the team in the Clayton Burlington. I was the MC for the evening, and I interviewed Pat Ryan on the stage about the year and about the disappointment and the rest of it. And there's no doubt the Cork team fan, he's greatly loved and appreciated. But you still have to ask questions about tactically the decisions he made. And should he, for example, after Owen Downey was very harshly booked, in fact, a lot of us would have thought it wasn't even a free, let alone a booking. But leave that aside, once it had happened, should he have replaced him to make sure that he wasn't vulnerable to what happened to him?
Yeah, see, look, again, it's easy to say probably in hindsight that you don't leave your fullback in a situation where he's booked at that stage, especially when Cork's scramble defence have been a little bit lacking at times as well. Like, I think if John McGrath's first goal, there's probably not enough protection there. Now, obviously, McGrath very cleverly goes in and gets the finish on it, but at the same time, for the penalty as well, it's where the ball comes back down and Downey is left a little bit exposed in the position he's in, which ultimately leads to the foul that will lead to the penalty that Darren McCarthy then goes across and tells Jason Ford, hey, you know what, I'm going to take this even though I'm 19 years of age and I'm going to go for goal. But they definitely felt exposed by comparison to some teams. And we did wonder for a while if that was maybe a soft underbelly that Cork had was possibly their full back line at times. Like, O'Donoghue's been incredible, and I think he probably will in All-Star in the corner. It's not that I think Niall O'Leary's not a good marker as well, but at times Cork haven't defended brilliantly in their full back line. And Tipperary exposed that. Maybe John McGrath, the man who's been on the hottest of hot streaks, like 7 goals in the summer for him, Matt, is remarkable. He won the county final in Tipperary for his team last year, and now he's gone into an All-Ireland final. He scored 2-2 from play, 2 goals at crucial times, wins the penalty as well. He might not have been man of the match, that eventually went to Ronan Mara, but what a difference maker to have on your team where you have that ball that you can put in there and you know that John McGrath is just an ace finisher.
Do you think, were Cork complacent? Were they too expectant? Had they actually done enough in the championship, leave aside the league, to actually justify the favouritism that they had yesterday?
I remember Michael saying to us 2 weeks ago, you know, it was a case of people were talking as if just give Cork the cup when they go up after scoring the 7 goals against Dublin. And it is understandable that, you know, when there are some high highs within the season, like we saw with Cork, like going to win the Munster final, even if Limerick supporters want to say that game was a draw. Some of the other, you know, big games they put in, I think of Ennis in the league, where Cork's potential was seen and he thought, right, they're absolutely awesome when they really get going. And then once the season ends, you start to wonder about the way they let Clare back into the game, the way that maybe they had to struggle a little bit in some of the games in the Munster Championship, you know, having to fight a little bit to put Waterford away. And then you think, maybe did we look at the highs and put them too high because of them? But again, that's retrospective analysis, isn't it?
It
like,
is.
I don't think anyone really going into the final thought that Cork would go a half a hurling only scoring 2 points.
I don't think anyone would expect any team going into an All-Ireland final to only score 2 points and a half. Mm. It's absolutely remarkable. And I know, I'm aware I don't want to be talking only about Cork, because Cork is a team that have lost this final. But something else that came up last week, it is remarkable as well. Tipperary this year are only the second team to have won an All-Ireland without having played in the provincial final. Previously, prior to that, it was Clare in 2013. And who did they beat that year? They beat Cork. So Cork are the only team that have lost in a situation like that.
Tip also, by the way, are the first team to beat a team from each province to win an All-Ireland. Now they've finally won an All-Munster final as well.
Okay. So Liam Cahill, there will be enormous celebrations this evening. I'd imagine the team returns home to Thurles, and very well deserved. And how much of a vindication is this for Liam Cahill as well?
It's huge, and you know, you just have to admire Liam and his management team in terms of where they were this time last year. And look, you know, we'll all remember that very difficult interview straight after the final game last year. And you know, like, those are it's a thankless job. You know, when it's going great, when it's going well, it's brilliant. You know, and you're a hero and everybody's happy. But you know, this team and Liam in particular, you know, they've had to earn this. There was nothing easy about this at all. You know, like, hard questions being put to him directly in terms of his style. Was he the right person to take Tip forward? And in fairness, he's answered those questions emphatically, you know, and assembled a fabulous young team, if I'm allowed to call them that, when you have the likes of Noel and John McGrath and, you know, some of the boys who are going for won their third All-Ireland medal. But, you know, it was a brave team. Like, we had... three of the guys that came on, or two of the guys that started yesterday, were under 20. The third chap to go in, Oisin O'Donoghue, was under 20, and they had brought young Paddy McCormack into the 26. So he was the fourth chap from the under 20 squad to be part of the 26 match day panel yesterday. There are more outside of that then in the training squad. So like that was very brave. You know, like no other team that, as far as I'm aware, went with such youth. And and you know, the rewards were there, but then you could, you know, there's a counter argument there, like, that had he a choice, did he have to go down to that age group, you know, to have the best competitive Tipperary team he could have? And I think the answer is he did. But it's amazing, Mullinoiga against Chucky Sheet, and that's exactly what happened. If they're good enough, put them in. And in fairness, you know, I think, going back to what I said, I think tremendous credit is due to Liam and Mikey Beaton.
Indeed.
And the management team.
Congratulations to Tipperary, worthy winners of the All-Ireland Senior Hurling Championship yesterday after that display against Cork. Thank you, Michael Ryan, for having been with us.
The last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.